This is Digital Story Podcast number 537, June 21st, 2016. Today's theme is the five things we forget but shouldn't. I'm Derek Story. The reason why I start packing my camera bag a week before a big trip is to prevent my forgetting something. I figure that over the course of 7 days of use, I'll know what's missing and maybe, just as important, what's not necessary. There are times, however, when I come up short. And when I do, these are the five items that I typically forget to bring. Life on the road is a little different, right? Because you have to be more self-contained. When you're sitting there on an airplane, on a bus, a train, whatever, you can't just get up and go to the kitchen or go to the bathroom or go and get something that you need. You pretty much have to have it with you. There's no refrigerator available to you on the airplane. There's no medicine cabinet available to you on the airplane. These are the sort of things that you have to anticipate and make sure that you have them with you. And the thing is, in day-to-day life, you're probably not going to have some of these things in your camera bag. So it's funny, time and time again, there are certain items that I forgot. That's what I mentioned in the opening monologue. So let's go over those right now and talk about why I think these things should be in your camera bag also. I'm going to start out with business cards. Business cards are so important, and it cracks me up. I know for sure I'm not the only person that forgets business cards, because when I'm on the road and I meet somebody else and I go, oh, do you have a card? And they go, oh, God, I forgot them. I mean, a lot. I mean, it feels like more than half the time that's the response that I get. So why are business cards important? Well, there's a couple reasons. Actually, there are a few reasons. First of all, when you're out shooting and you take someone's picture and then, you know, you have a chat with them afterwards and they go, I would really like a copy of that picture. That's what they're saying to you. Then I think you know my feelings about this. You should deliver it. You should come through on what you say you're going to do. The easiest way to handle this is to give that person your business card that has your email address on it, possibly your phone number, whatever you put on your card, and say, please write me, remind me that I owe you a picture. Just put in there where we met, where we talked, in your name, and I will send it to you. And put the onus on them. If you put the onus on them, first of all, it's going to be a lot more time efficient for you, right? You get the email. They say, hey, we talked in the park in Chicago. You took a picture of me while I was at the drinking fountain. I really would like to have it. Can you send it to me? You said you would. All you got to do is respond to the email and attach the picture, and you're done. You have fulfilled your promise. Plus, by putting the onus on them, there are going to be times, because a lot of people will say at the moment they want the picture, but they really don't care. This is something they say at the moment. So instead of you fretting about something that may or may not be important to that other person, if you put the onus on them, they have to write you. Then those that really want the picture will write you. And then those that are just going to waste your time won't write you, and you won't have to deal with them. That alone, in my opinion, is worth having business cards with you just to handle that situation. Make sure you have enough cards with you to address anyone that you take a picture of out in public. There's also the other things that we all know about. I carry with me business cards from projects that I am focused on promoting at the moment. So for example, can you guess which business cards that I'm carrying right now? I'm carrying business cards for The Analog Story. It's a new site, it needs extra love. And I still have all my information on there. I have my email, I have my phone number, have website, all that good stuff. But I have cards with me for the thing that I'm focused on promoting at the moment. Now, you may be promoting your Instagram, your Flickr site, your Twitter feed, your blog, whatever it is that is important to you at the moment to promote. I'm not saying that is your most important entity. Like in my case, thedigitalstory.com is my most important website, far and away. But I do like having these other sites. I like having the nimblephotographer.com, and I like having the analogstory.com because they allow me to have conversations that are different than what I can have on the digital story. So I don't really need to promote the digital story right now. It's doing fine, but I do need to promote the analog story. And that's why I have those cards with me. So they're helpful along those lines. You are giving out information for a property that needs a little love at that particular moment. Business cards are also useful as flash bounce cards. You have to have rubber band with you, but that's something that I always make sure I have a few of those in the camera bag. You can wrap the rubber band around the flash head, stick the business card in, boom, you've got a bounce card, just like that. I leave the back blank for that very reason, and I choose white stock for that very reason. And then they're also good for making notes on. So if you need to scribble down some notes about someone that you met, a meeting that you had, some sort of thing, business cards are nice for that. So they just come in handy. They have so many different uses for photographers. Make sure that you have them in your bag. Don't forget them. When you do, you're going to feel like such a ninny for not remembering the one thing in your bag that, you know, is really literally your calling card. Item number two that I always seem to forget, pain reliever. Yes. Now, I'm not someone that gets a lot of headaches or things like that. But when I'm traveling or when I'm out and about, I feel like if it is going to happen, it's going to happen then. A lot of sun exposure, a lot of being in pressurized cabins, a lot of just bad air, bad food, and possibly bad water. Fatigue, dehydration, you know, all these things that really lead to needing pain reliever, not to mention physical pain, like your feet are just hurting, you know, or you bang something while you're carrying your luggage around, you know, bang your arm, bang your knuckle, start to get a sore throat. I mean, it just really goes on and on. I mean, kind of wonder why we ever travel at all, really, when you start to list off all the things that we seem to endure while en route, right? At any rate, there's nothing like having a little bit of pain reliever with you just to make things a little bit easier, just to calm that headache down, just to calm down the throbbing of your elbow, you know, that you banged on the cabin door, whatever it happens to be. They hardly take up any room at all in your camera bag. Now, I just keep a few tablets in a case for a compact flash. I don't shoot with compact flash cards much anymore. My 5D Mark II is the only camera that I have that uses compact flash. But the size of the memory card holders for compact flash are just great for, you can put, I think about a dozen, actually, pain relieving tablets in there. They just slide in any little pocket in your camera bag, and then you have them with you. When you're out and about, I'll tell you, nothing can make you feel just a little bit better, faster, than having a little bit of pain reliever with you. Do not forget them. Make sure they're in your camera bag. The next item is actually a photographic accessory. A Joby Micro Tripod. I absolutely love these things. They're $21 or so, and they're not the Gorillapod with the weird legs. The Micropods are little metal tripods that fold up flat, and they hardly take up any space. They take up far less space than a Gorillapod. And so then you spread the legs out sideways. They fan out sideways, and it has a little ball head. And the nice thing about it is that you can set these on just about any surface. And with that little ball head, you can actually angle the camera. The hard part about doing night photography and so forth without something like this is that you have a flat surface you can use. Yes, a newspaper machine, railing, whatever. But it's hard to get the angle, right? And it's usually pointing too far down. With a Joby micro tripod, You can get that angle for the shot exactly the way that you want it, and then take the shot. And they come in handy for all sorts of stuff. I use it for a little microphone stand when I'm recording on the road. They're just very, very handy. They take up very little space. And for the most part, I don't need to carry another tripod if I have one of these with me. And they are so thin that I can actually slide them in. You know, in your camera bag where you have the pen holders, you know, where you can slide a writing pen in there. It's usually in the little accessory pocket. These Joby micro tripods will actually slide into the pen holder, P-E-N holder, on your camera bag. And so they don't fall to the bottom and you don't have to dig around looking for them. And they don't bang against other stuff. And you can just get to them fast and they're protected. So I just love these things. And I'll tell you, I don't need a tripod a whole lot, but it's like so many other things when you're out and about. When you do need one, you really need one. These little micro tripods are fantastic. And I have the link to the one that I recommend in the show notes. So if you go to the show notes at thedigitalstory.com, click on the link. It'll take you right to the one that I'm talking about because there are some different sizes and so forth. This one that I have the link to is the one that I think is the best all around. It will hold a mirrorless camera. It will hold a compact camera. It will even hold one of the light DSLRs, such as a Canon Digital Rebel. So anyway, Joby Micro Tripod. I hate it when I forget it because I think I have it with me, right? And then I go to reach for it and it isn't there. And then I can't do the night shot the way that I want. And then, you know, so I'm taking things and wedging them underneath the camera and it's just a mess. Next item, card readers. So there's two types of card readers I'm talking about. One is a lightning card reader that plugs into my iPhone and my iPad. And the other one is a micro SD card reader that is about the size of my thumbnail that plugs into my computer. And I'll explain each right now. So let's start with the lightning card reader, the Apple lightning card reader. I have that because, yes, I can transfer wirelessly from my mirrorless camera to my iPhone and my iPad. I can do that whenever I want, except when I'm on the road in some busy Wi-Fi congested situation, and then it doesn't work, which is the one time that I really need it to work. So I think Wi-Fi transfer is fantastic most of the time. For those other times, which are those times that I really need to get the photos up and posted somewhere, I pull out my little lightning card reader, super light, super small, put the SD card in it, plug it into my iPad or plug it into my iPhone, pick the pictures that I want via Photos, do whatever I need to do to them, crop them, whatever, and post them. And that has saved me time and time again. And when I have forgotten it, I am so mad because then I end up spending all this time wrestling with the Wi-Fi, trying to make it work. Oh, it's just maddening, you know, and it's like anything else. It's when you're in a hurry that it won't work. Oh, okay, you know exactly what I mean, because this happens with all sorts of things in life. Now, let me explain the micro SD card reader. So carrying around SD card readers, they're a little, you know, they're a little bigger than I really want. I mean, I really want these things to fit into small areas. So what I've done is I'm carrying around a Lexar micro SD card reader. They're super small, like I said, the size of my thumbnail. And then I have a super fast micro SD card in my Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II that is in an SD card adapter. I can use most of the time, I can just pull the SD card adapter out, plug it into my laptop, because there's an SD card slot there, and everything works fine most of the time. Every now and then, something goes wonky and I need a backup SD card reader, or if I have a whole lot of stuff and I want it to go fast, that little Lexar card reader is many times faster than the slot in my MacBook. So then all I have to do is pull the micro SD card out of the SD card adapter, put it in this little super fast thumbnail card reader, put that into any USB port, and zoom, off I go. So it is a great backup, and it's also a speed demon when I have a whole lot of stuff, especially a whole lot of RAW files. So that way I am covered for both mobile devices and my computer. I have redundancy in both, because that's the one thing that'll kill you, right? You've got the pictures on your camera. You need to get them up online. That gap that you have to build a bridge across, that's your vulnerable spot. So you want to make sure that you have redundancy there. And when I forget it, again, I am sad. I really am. I just want to kick myself. All right, last one on this list. Polarizer. This is the one filter that I think we always have to have with us. They are so versatile, and this is true for both analog and digital photographers. First of all, they're polarizers, right? So they help you with all the things, with reflections in water, with reflections off buildings and things. They help you with the sky, to make the sky a little bit richer, a little bit bluer, to make the clouds stand out a little bit more. They're really helpful for things like taking the shine off people's faces a bit. They really help with all that. They're just really useful for all sorts of photography situations. And then in addition to that, because of their two-stop density, they allow you to shoot at a little wider aperture when you're outdoors. Particularly helpful with portraits or with moving water, things like that. And then in the analog world, if you have a camera that has a shutter speed that only goes up to 1/1000th of a second, then that buys you two more f-stops, which allows you, and a lot of times, to move from a maximum aperture of f8 or so all the way down to f4 or something like that, you know, depending on however bright it is outside. They're just so darn handy. Now, my big problem with polarizers is that I know that I need them, but for a long time, I was only carrying one around, and it always seemed to be in my other bag. Because I switch bags a lot, depending on what I'm doing. I really don't like to have a bag that's any bigger than what I need at the moment. So I have like three or four bags that I'm, you know, kind of switching among. And sure enough, when I needed a polarizer, it always seemed to be in the other bag. Now, this was a bit more painful to solve than the Joby Micro Tripod, because polarizers can get quite pricey. But over time, I've managed to get one in each of my bags. I leave it in there, and then that way, I always have a polarizer with me, and I don't forget it when I need it. And my life has been a lot better ever since, quite honestly. Again, you know, the way that I use them as much as anything is for that two-stop density, you know, where I want to open up the aperture a bit more. Just so handy. So anyway, five goodies there that we tend to forget, at least I tend to forget, that are really helpful to have with you. Now, my suspicion is that you have a few more items that you might want to add to this list. So if you do, I would love that if you would just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thedigitalstory. I'll have this podcast posted there, the show notes for it. Add the things that you think are important, the things that you tend to forget, and the things that you try very hard not to forget because they make you sad when you reach for your camera bag and they're not there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing any additions to my five that you may have. We can have some fun with this. Let's share these things. And then that way we will all be more comfortable and more productive when we're away from home. In the news, this simple plugin lets you post to Instagram directly from Lightroom. And this is via Petapixel. I'll just read it to you. The Lightroom/Instagram plugin does exactly what you think it does. It lets you post images to Instagram directly from Lightroom. No need to export and use some third-party web client to get the photo onto your smartphone. Once you install the plugin and authorize your Instagram account or several accounts, you're good to go. Simply drag the photo into the published collection that matches the Instagram account that you want to post to. Fill in the caption and tags. Have the plugin crop or pad your photo to fit Instagram's parameters and hit publish. The Lightroom Instagram plugin is 100% free to download and try. The maker simply asks that you show your support by registering it for $10 from the Lightroom Plugin Manager if you like it. It is compatible with Lightroom CC 3.0 and higher and works for both Windows XP or later and Mac OS X 10.7 or later. And again, I have the link to the story in the show notes. Sounds like a pretty cool thing. I'll tell you that kind of moving stuff from computers onto Instagram usually seems to involve too many steps. If you're a Lightroom user, you already have all your shots in there. This can really simplify things. I looked at the interface of the plugin and it looks pretty nice. I think it's definitely worth a look if you're an Instagram user and you rely on Lightroom to manage your photos. Ink Dot Metal Prints. So this is a new twist on metal prints. I've been looking at these, and what they have done, they use a gloss white metal surface for creating their vibrancy and depth. So it's a little different than some of the other metal prints I've talked about in the past. It's also different in the sense that you can get a 12 by 12 from Ink Dot for $65. And they have sizes that go up to 30 inches by 40 inches, and they have all sorts of increments along the way. But basically, a whole bunch of the sizes are less than $100. And like I said, you can start out, you can get 12 by 12 for 65, and they even have some smaller ones. 12 by 12, in all honesty, is about as small as I would go. They use a process that infuses your image onto this white-coated aluminum, and they come ready to hang right out of the box. So you place your order, you upload the photo, you receive the order, and you can hang this thing right on the wall. There's a special hanging hook, no drilling, no hammering, none of that stuff is required. You simply push the pin through the wall and hang your metal print. And a big part of this is because, well, the metal prints really aren't that heavy. Now, they're water, scratch, and UV resistant, and they're archival. And again, a big plus with metal prints is you can put them in places that paper prints don't work so well, such as bathrooms, saunas. You just wipe them off with a soft, clean towel. Now, another really nice thing about Ink Dot metal printing is they have a quick turnaround. Orders typically ship in 1 to 2 days. So you get fast turnaround, you get a very nice price, you get a very attractive, high quality looking print. You can go over to the Ink Dot site and they have testimonials on there from people who have received them. And the way that you get to that is you go to inkdot.com, inkdot.com/metal-prints. And of course, I have the link in the show notes. Give these guys a try and see what you think. I think you'll be very happy and quite satisfied. Got another little newsy item for you here. There's a new Hasselblad camera announcement coming on Wednesday. Now, if you're listening to this on Tuesday when I first upload it, then that'll be tomorrow. It's June 22nd, and they're rumored to announce a new camera, Hasselblad, that most likely will be mirrorless. And then the rumor mill really heated up. Not only will it be mirrorless, that it may be a 50 megapixel full frame sensor too. So that is really interesting. Now, you remember that Hasselblad had kind of a false start, shall we say, in the mirrorless world. They partnered with Sony, and what they would do is dress up Sony mirrorless cameras and put a Hasselblad logo on them and say, hey, we have mirrorless cameras. And hey, oh, by the way, they cost twice as much as the same model from Sony. So those really didn't go over very well, understandably. And they finally announced that, well, okay, we're getting out of that game because, well, probably wasn't the best idea. But what they didn't say at the time was that they were working on their own mirrorless camera, which is what they should have done in the first place, right? Working on their own camera. And we're going to find out what that's all about on June 22nd. I have a link. If you want to watch the announcement, it's going to be a live stream on YouTube. And I have a link to that live stream in the show notes. So you can click on it and you can be all set up. It also has the time and all that stuff, all the information you need. And you can watch the presentation live and see for yourself. I'm kind of excited about it. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford what they announce. Most likely not. And I have no idea what the mount is going to be. I'm guessing probably a Sony mount. If I had to go way out on a limb, that's probably where I'd stand. But I'm still curious. And, you know, the way I feel about it, that any positive activity in the mirrorless world makes it all a lot more interesting and increases competition, all that good stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a possible new mirrorless camera. Announcement from Hasselblad. If it's really cool, and I just can't help myself, I might even talk about it next week. So I have some book bundle winners. Remember last week I talked about, we have the new travel guide, the free ebook that you can download at rockynook.com. The ebook written by me really is a helpful guide as you're planning your summer travels, and you can download it for free. And over the last week, if you did do that, which I hope you did, you were automatically entered into a book bundle drawing, a random drawing, where you'd receive three Rocky Nook books on great topics such as street photography. So I have the three winners right here. I'm going to read them to you right now. Roger Walton, Ray, I don't want to guess on your name, Ray, because I'm going to feel so bad if I get it wrong. I was just going to spell it A-C-E-V-E-D-O, Ray, A-C-E-V-E-D-O. And the third one is Bob Taylor, Bob Taylor. Each of you has won a book bundle. All you have to do is write me, Derek@thedigitalstory.com. Say, I heard that I won the Rocky Nook book bundle. Plus, I love your travel guide. Now, I'll still make sure you get the book bundle if you leave the last part off about that you love my travel guide. But you might get it faster if you do say that. You know I'm kidding, right? And so congratulations to all three of you. Thank you so much. And for the rest of you that did download the travel guide and didn't win, don't worry, we're going to be doing more stuff. But I thank you for your participation. I just have an update on the Apple Photos book. So I had a meeting with Rocky Nook last week, and we mapped out our plan for the next version of the Apple Photos book for photographers. And the good news is that the ebook that we have up on the Rocky Nook site right now and at Amazon right now contains 98% of everything that you need to know about the application that isn't even released yet, right? We won't even see it to fall. So the book right now has everything you need to know about the current version of the application, and it has 98% everything that you'll need to know about the next release of the application. But we are going to add some bits and bobs to the book, and then we're going to make a print version. And those bits and bobs will cover the other 2-3% of the new stuff that was announced at WWDC. So I'm really excited about this. I love this book, and I'm going to be working on it again. I'm going to just wait until the public beta is released in July and start playing with the app. Then there's no need for me to do anything right now, because what am I going to do with it, right? We're not even going to see that version of the application until September or October. So I'll go ahead and wait till July, and then I'll start working on it. But in the meantime, the book that's out there is really good, and I highly recommend it. You can go to rockynook.com and purchase it. And if you use the checkout code Apple 15, you can get the book for $5 off for 15 bucks. Or you can go to Amazon and buy it there, but the code doesn't work there. So you're probably better off going over to rockynook.com, getting it there. And finally, my friends over at Red River Paper, I've been talking with them a lot because I'm getting on a plane for Chicago, and I'm going to be teaching printing and Nimble Photography Workshop and all that stuff at the Out of Chicago Conference later this week. I'm jazzed about it. And we're giving out free paper samples to everyone that comes to class. I have two classes on making fine art prints from your digital images and why you should do that. And I have lots of other goodies. I have great tips I've been working on. This is really going to be a lot of fun. And I totally appreciate Red River Paper, how they support the photography community, and how they are really into helping you not only preserve your images by making prints of them, but also sharing them in a more personal, meaningful way. Red River Paper has a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, well, I'm going to pack my bag. Hopefully I didn't forget anything that I mentioned on the podcast today. I'm going to head out to Chicago. Those of you that are waiting for me there, I cannot wait to spend time with you. Looking forward to the photo walks and the classes and the workshops and everything else we're going to be doing. I'll have lots to report next week. Please come back and join me. Just love spending this time with you. Until then, you have a great week and wish me luck in Chicago. Bye-bye now.